other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, only podcast on the internet sponsored by the International Whale Husbandry Coalition. The hump is back in 2021. I'm Aaron, here with my personal pals, Dave.
Hello, boys.
We have young Hawaiian Brick.
Aloha.
And we have old Irish Nico.
Hello.
Just making podcast mythology happen.
The best thing is a joke that has literally nothing to do with anything because I've never even been to Hawaii.
He said aloha.
He said aloha, now it's canon. Well, folks, it's summertime in these parts for sure. Today is actually very cool and rainy in the Boston area, but the past weeks has been unforgivably hot. It's been so nasty and gross. But that means it's time to talk about summer reading habits and what we're doing for our summer reads. So our topic today is summer reading plans. What do you want to do with your summer reading? Things you want to tackle finally? So, some dusty tome that's been sitting on your bookshelf for years and years you're finally going to take down and crack into? Or new adventures in reading? We want to hear what those plans are. We'll start with Dave. Dave, what are your summer reading plans? What are you going to do this summer?
Well, for about 6 months, I've been staring longingly at George Saunders's A Swim in a Pond in the Rain, which I know one of us is reading right now.
Correct.
And I'm very much looking forward to. So it's this nonfiction book about, I think he runs a class about Russian short stories.
Yeah.
Is it a writing class or a reading class, Aaron?
It's a writing class.
Right.
It's a creative writing class, but the approach is reading stories and learning about craft that way.
Right. And so in the book, he republishes, I think, 7 Russian short stories, and he writes about his thoughts and his approach to each one, and then there are some exercises for each, some prompts and whatever. And it just feels like, since I got it, it felt like something that I just have had no business trying to tackle. It's super long, but it feels like
it breezes by though.
It does. Yeah.
It's easy to read.
Do you do the exercises too?
So far the exercises are just they're just thinking exercises. They're not writing exercises. So it's thinking about what you're reading. So the first chapter, he asks you, and the book is structured this way too, to read a story a page at a time. So you read a page and the next page is the next section is him talking to you about where are we in the story so far? What's going on? What do you notice? What do you care about? What's happening? And kind of goes through that way. He says he does this in his class too, and even gives students pages of the story at a time. He'll hand them out and read this page now so they aren't tempted to look ahead. And the thinking is that if a story is well constructed, then it will account for all of your expectations and your thoughts, and we'll weave them into something that's interesting and engaging and surprising. Mm. So yeah, it kind of makes you stop and think about what you're doing, and it's fantastic.
Good. Okay. So I'm looking forward to that. For fiction, I think I want to read Toni Morrison's Song of Solomon, because that's the one super well known book of hers that I haven't read, and it's one of her longest, if not the longest. So summertime feels like a good time. I tried it once a couple of years ago and then got sidetracked, but I read maybe a chapter and a half and really enjoyed it. Nice. So I want to give that a shot. And then I want to also sit back down finally with Mr. Miracle and get through that, because I stalled out at issue 11 out of 12 and never came back around to it. And so now I'm at the point where I have to start over from the beginning.
Right.
And that feels like kind of a summary project.
You can finally record your part of that podcast when you edit your comments into the episode and re-release it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's the main purpose for sure.
Yeah, there you go. Excellent. Those are good plans. Nico, what about you?
I have a few big hefty books I got. One is Midnight's Children by Salman Rushdie, which I hope I like better than I like right now. I'm about a third of the way through it. So far, I decided for some reason to read these kind of well-regarded books that I've never read. And this won the Booker when it came out, and then it also won the Best of the Booker. And I don't know why I keep reading Booker Prize winning books, because I fucking hate the Booker Prize and I hate all of the books that win it. So I don't know what the fuck I'm thinking, but I decided to read this one. Here's my first problem with it. Here's the flat problem.
Here's my first problem with it. So buckle up, guys.
Begin slideshow.
All right. So this is what it says in the back. Born at the stroke of midnight at the exact moment of India's independence, Salim Sinai is a special child. However, this coincidence of birth has consequences he is not prepared for. Telepathic powers connect him with 1,000 other Midnight's children, all of whom are endowed with unusual gifts. Inextricably linked to his nation, Salim's story is a whirlwind of disasters and triumphs that mirrors the course of modern India at its most impossible and glorious. That sounds like it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
150 pages into the 600-page book, he is not born yet. It's so aggravating. It's like, I mean, it's kind of like Tristram Shandy, except right. It's not. I think he's just literally just long-winded and takes forever to get to the point. Hmm. It's like the person that Tristram Shandy was making fun of is actually Salman Rushdie. And that's fairly obnoxious. I think if he can describe something in one paragraph, he'll take 3 pages to describe it instead.
Right.
He has no economy of words whatsoever. But I've gotten to the part where he's born and he is starting to get his telepathic powers, and hopefully the story picks up from here. Because before this, it was like my grandfather was a doctor, and he went to a nobleman's house and treated his daughter, and later, and like falling asleep. Number 2 is The Blind Assassin by Margaret Atwood. So this was also, I didn't realize this
was a hefty book, man. Of this
either. And God damn it, I just now noticed that it also won the Booker. There you go. What is happening? God damn it. And then for...
Are you going to read that after, reason, or are you doing them simultaneously?
No, after. Yeah, not simultaneously. Although, so then I decided last night, and our bookstore here in Sligo, you can just order books by emailing them. So I emailed them and ordered this book drunk last night. So I'm committed. I decided to read Gravity's Rainbow and finally nice. Actually finish it. I'm gonna read 10 pages a day. And that's it. It feels like doable. It'll probably take me an hour, but I can do that. And then it'll take like 90 days.
Right. Just like take notes after your hour of reading so you can recap the next day what you read and remember it. Yeah.
I've always had this, I don't know, fantasy is a stretch, but the idea of wanting to find a book that's exactly 365 pages and read one page per day, kind of like what you were talking about with that Saunders, just as kind of an experiment to see how it affects, you know, everything about my intake of that book.
Right. Brick, what about you?
Funny you mentioned Tristan Shandy, because I broke that out the other day when I was putting together Yakperty, because I had really hoped that the mother was overseeing him when he got his dick stuck in the window. Unfortunately, it was the maid, so he didn't make the cut for that line of questioning. No, it wasn't Yakperty. It was the Mother's Day game.
Yeah, the book is great.
And now I'm thinking about reading that again, because I really love that book. And I haven't read it. I think grad school was the second and last time that I read it. So go for a third. But what I'm actually looking forward to reading is, spoiler alert a little bit, we're reading Jane Eyre for Canon or Canon, and I'm really into it. I'm maybe 150 pages in.
Nice.
And I'm very much enjoying it. I'm reading it kind of similarly to Nico's plan with Gravity Rainbow. I'm reading it in kind of controlled spurts of about 50 pages at a time on nice weather days, and it's been a very good companion. I'm so into it, in fact, that I also bought Anne Bronte's book, The Tenant at Wildfall Hall, and I'm thinking of reading that after. And then in general, I'm looking forward to digging up some kind of classics that either I want to revisit or that I've always meant to read. I'm not feeling everything I've read that's kind of modern I haven't really liked lately, so I need some old stuff. So that's what I'm looking forward to. And if the weather holds up this summer like it has in May, there's going to be a lot of time in the backyard to read this year. So that's most of what I'm looking forward to. Also, I really need to do a Calvin and Hobbes reread, because last year was the first year I missed it in forever.
Yeah, do twice this year.
Yeah, maybe I will.
Or do one Garfield reread.
I won't, actually. You know, I don't have any Garfield books, because I never really, besides the newspaper funnies, I never really read Garfield. It was the TV show that I liked.
Right, yeah, me too.
But I may read some more of those Peanuts books, because I have enjoyed those, but I need to find some a little later down the line, because I don't need to read any more 50s comics right now.
Yeah, fair enough. What if this just became very slowly a Garfield podcast? How would you all feel about that?
Bad.
I think it's happening.
I would feel great, and our Patreon would be all about Heathcliff.
I just want to talk about the Junkyard Gang, or whatever their name was, like the cats that lived in the junkyard with the cat with the floppy hat and the guy with the roller skates. Mm-hmm. Those are my favorites. Excellent, good. Similarly to Brick, I also am planning to finish Jane Eyre, kind of working through that too. And actually, funny that you mentioned your kind of reading model for that is serialized, because that's how it was published initially, right? So it kind of makes sense to read it in that sort of like, you know, bit by bit way. So I'm doing the same thing and also really loving it, which is great. There's a couple of big things I want to And I mean, literally, physically big. And there's a big, it's two, I'm not going to get it down to show you because it's a podcast, not a video show.
I keep forgetting.
Well, it's just not worth me like showing you my body to pull it out.
You don't have to take off your clothes.
No, I do. It's a special mechanism. It's a box set of these three books about Alex Toth, who is a comics illustrator from the, I guess, 50s and 60s. Did everything, basically did superheroes, did horror stuff, tons of stuff. But he was also the art designer, or like the sort of like concept designer for all of the Hanna-Barbera 60s action cartoons, like Space Ghost and Birdman, stuff like that.
Nice.
His art's amazing. And there's a big three-volume collection where one part is his like biography, one part is his work in animation, and one part is his work in comics. And it's just like, they're thick, they're big, and like lushly illustrated. They're really gorgeous to look at, but I've only really looked at them. I've never really sat down and read the whole thing through. So I want to do that for sure. Cause it's been, I coveted it for a long time, finally got it, and then just like put it on my shelf. I was like, well, now I have it, and I should probably just go ahead and read it too. And there's also, I got recently, for my birthday, this, I will show you this actually. This big book about Saul Bass, who's also a designer. You know him from designing opening credit sequences and posters and logos from the 40s on. He's like sort of this quiet force in American culture. Like you might not know the name Saul Bass, but you definitely know his work. You've seen it in thousands of places. So this is like a big, pretty chunky look at his life and work, and it's really cool. So I'm going to also read through that as well. So I'm looking for some big artsy biography reading experiences for my summer. Listeners, tell us what your reading experiences for the summer are. What do you crack open when it's the weather gets sticky and you're drinking lemonade by the pool, or you are hiding from the sun under shade? What are you doing reading wise? We're going to hear it on Twitter at YakBabies. And of course, you can email us at YakBabiesPodcast@gmail.com with all those thoughts and ideas. Inspire us. Give us some suggestions for our summer reading too. Also, we're on Patreon. Patreon.com/YakBabies, where you can get our bonus podcast. For $1 a month, you can access all sorts of fun stuff there. There's games, there's bro-to-bro conversations, there's a whole new podcast.
The original intro to this episode.
Yeah, in some form. We're not sure what it'll say, look or sound like, but it'll be there. There's a whole new podcast called Snack Babies that we started that's taken the world by storm. It's such a good podcast. It's actually a very popular podcast and is the best podcast. So you should listen to that too. It's about snacks, if you can tell from the title. And then we have merch, tinyurl.com/yakbabies, where you can get posters, mugs, t-shirts, probably underwear, all kinds of stuff there with the designs by the illustrious Brick. So check it out. Until then, Yak Babies, yakking off.
The Yak Babies would like to thank all their loyal listeners, and especially their patrons, both past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, David, Roger, Kathleen, Bailey, Andrew, and William Howard Taft.